Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bring them in. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on the Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Don't give a salute, Joe. Don't give a salute 20 minutes late out of the gate. And Joe, do yourself a favor, too. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't want to hear them because I will fire back at you so quick. Don't just say, my bad, boys. My bad.
Wow.
No, my bad. We waited till 8 o'clock to film.
Joseph, that's not the argument you were. I was hoping that you were going to counter with a solid argument, Joey D. That's not the route.
45 minutes late out of the game.
45 minutes late. 45 minutes late. I walked.
It's
45 minutes.
It's very tardy, Joey D. It was
13 minutes. My laptop was fucking dead.
Mikey V, how do you feel about that?
I mean, what are we talking about here?
I think it needs to be
10 minutes short.
It's literally 8:20 at 8:05.
I'm going to put it behind me. Let's start the show.
I think that's very good. I think, fellas, hey.
Love you, Joe.
Can we clap it up?
I love you, too. I love everybody.
We're happy to be here. Who's happier than Joey D to be here tonight? Wow.
I'm a happy camper. I'm going to leave it at that.
20 minutes is wild, Joey D. We just walked back. I don't understand, though. We just walked back into the hotel. I said to Mike, we just got back from the hotel. By the way, good Mexican food tonight. That's a positive, right?
Where'd you go?
A lot of positives today.
I went with the fajitas. Joe tried to talk me into the steak and shrimp burrito, which probably would have been a good play.
Surf and turf is a Mikey V. That's a staple.
Burritos in general, but I tell you, burritos. I could take down a burrito, and like if I'm hungry, I could take down a burrito at an alarming pace. Like one of those cartoons with the chipmunks when they eat the corn.
Do you like the wet burrito, or do you like just like the standard?
The what burrito?
Like a wet burrito. Do you like a more wet burrito, or do you like just standard?
I like if it's got, you know, I think a standard has to have, I like beans in there, rice, and then whatever your main fare is with your meat. If you're going pulled pork, or you're going chorizo, or you're going, chicken or carne asada or something like that.
You know what's very upsetting to me are the Mexican restaurants that don't have, I almost think every single dish at a Mexican restaurant outside of the burrito, because it should be loaded into the burrito, every dish has got to come with rice and beans. To see somebody order rice and beans on the side, I think it's a shame. I agree with that. You know what I mean? Am I wrong there, Joey D?
No, I don't think you are. I think that red beans and rice is
like you like pinto? Pinto bean?
Yeah, pinto bean is good.
Mikey,
do you do the black beans or do you do the pinto beans?
It's a great question. I actually was going to ask Mikey to build a burrito for me from Chipotle. I go with the black beans. I'm a pinto bean guy. Why can't you build a burrito for me?
I don't go to Chipotle.
Why
really
not?
Often.
You go to Qdoba.
We don't have one close. Yeah, I have a Qdoba close. Yeah.
Okay.
But Qdoba, I like doing the bowl. I like the bowls because I feel like you're getting more bang for your buck with the bowl.
But they still ask you with the bowls if you want, you know, the black or brown beans.
The pinto or the black, right? I think black bean is so like commonly used that I like to switch it up with the pinto. I think the pinto is a nice
I do too. I like the brown beans. Joe, I think they're better.
You know what bothers me is me and Mikey have this thing where anytime we have a meal, like any meal, we'll just send a picture of the meal to each other. No words on it, nothing. No. We just send a picture of the meal. This guy buries me on what he's eating compared to me. And it's, I think a little bit of it is just the choice, the selections that I'm making are so off, but also too, it's that New Jersey thing, man. It really is. I will say
the omelet picture you sent me the other day. That was a nice looking breakfast.
You know where that omelet's from, Joey D? It's from Astro Burger, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's you've been going there omelet. Low key.
Nice little spread.
Yeah.
You know, I do think Mikey V, it's like the only, like sometimes he'll hit that flex on us, like with the chicken part, like the chicken fried sandwiches and stuff. Cause he's like actually at work, working hard. And it's like his one like thing that he has like that serenity that we can't
that's
have.
That's a great word choice too. That's
and cool. It's like a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a game changer. Like it evens up the playing field a little bit. And you know what? God love him. He deserves it. The guy's working his ass off while we're sitting there doing whatever. And it's a flex that we can't compare to. I just don't think we have the food, like in terms of like Italian food and the different options that he has that we don't have where we're at geographically. It's a shame, but it is absolutely, the playing field is absolutely in Mikey V's favor.
You know what he does too, is when he does the pizza nights with Holly, when the kids go to bed Friday night and he does, the salad and the pizza. It's special, man. It's very, very special. You know
what my favorite Mikey V spread photos are though?
I mean, the ultimate, you got the spread photos from, I mean, the Holly V spreads, but the ultimate.
No, not the Holly V. But
Ray,
like,
it gotta be Rayo, the Rayo's night.
No. I'm just saying in general, where he takes pictures of like what he's eating. You know what my favorite is? And like he sent it to us a few times. And it's just the way that he lays it out is just the best.
What is it?
His Chinese food.
Yeah.
That only happens like twice a year.
He's preparing a banquet. He had everything like layered and it looks special, like man.
I love me some Chinese, man. I really do.
He got Bob when he won that bet off of you. He went to town.
Speaking,
gotta bang Bob a little bit on that one.
Speaking of special, by the way, big announcement, boys. The fellas have surpassed. First off, we've made it to the charts, which is something that we put on the New Year's resolution that we wanted to do to make it to the charts. We have surpassed our highest downloaded episode that we have ever had, and I this show, put it hands together, because I got news for you fellas, this show is hotter than ever, and it's to the fine folks that are listening weekly, and I think we're seeing it more and more that people are relying on the Braille and the Dumb Show. And Mikey V had a few words that he would like to share. He doesn't have a few words that he'd like to share, but Mikey V always has some words that he can come out together. So with that being said, Mikey V, if you could please just say everything that you wanted to say in regards to the Brilliantly Dumb Show topping the charts here.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the Brilliantly Dumb Show is, you know, we have our own content, right? And everyone is so religiously following the boys in general, Perez and Cuts and the Jet and Ticket and Bob and myself. And the level of support across all pages, across all platforms, across all individual content, and then to kind of focus in on this show, which, let's be honest, we grind on this show. This is not VIP velvet rope. This is hardcore banter with the boys. This is not for the faint at heart. And the fact that people just keep showing up week after week, it's just a testament. I think it's like a microcosm of how we deal with this show. This is our grind. This is our baby, and we take care of our baby, and our baby's got to grow. You know, we can't keep it as a newborn infant the whole time, as much as I would like to. This baby's got to grow into a full grown, you know, adult. And that's what we're nurturing this show to get bigger and bigger and bigger and better for everybody out there. And we're going to continue to do that. And damn it, don't try and stop us.
There's something special in the air, fellas. So folks, if you could do us a favor, like, comment, subscribe. And then if you're listening at some point, if you're driving, wait till you're parked, whatever it may be. But we want to keep the charts. We want to keep moving up those charts. If you could do, when you get off of it, Mikey V, it's all yours.
No, go.
Go ahead, 5-star comment in the Apple app. We got to keep our way churning and burning. Thank you guys. Please, 5-star comment. We want to keep it up the rankings there. I will say, being above the Sebastian Maniscalco show on the charts, I know it's not ideal of where we want to be, but seeing us above Sebastian was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty fucking cool.
I mean, it also helps when we're now in the comedy genre and no longer in like science.
Yes,
that is exactly right.
I mean, like, what are we doing? We were fucking We were literally trying to fucking wade through bad. Quicksand.
Shoveled shit against the tide for
amazing.
A year.
We get T-Bone puts us into the right fucking
T-Bone, clap it
category.
Up.
God love T-Bone. T-Bone. No offense, Bob. But like now all of a sudden we're starting to see the fruits of our labor. And it's like, you know, it's like it's you know.
And the fact that
we imagine if we were in comedy a year ago, Bear Down, we'd be cracking the top 20. You might
could be up there with Rogan.
Well, let's just take it easy over here, okay? Let's just go ahead and just take it easy
now,
over there.
Bob, I got two things that I want to get into very, sure. very quickly. Very sure. quickly. The first thing, I have to do a shout out. We had Ryan Clark on the show a couple weeks ago. Everybody remembers that when we had Clark on the yeah. show. The way that manifested was obviously through Twitter, but all those tweet exchanges back and forth with Clark, there was this kid, this guy, Anthony Pasillo, who is a diehard member of the Faithful and the Voiceless. And he facilitated a contact with Clark's representative, this girl who represents Ryan Clark for his podcast, The Pivot. Now, from what I understand, Anthony was expecting a shout out on the Ryan Clark episode or the episode directly, you know, following that. He didn't get it. I've heard he's lost a lot of sleep over it. I've heard he's very upset about it, like borderline, like, yeah, I guess I'll still watch the show, but these guys were my boys. You know, I'm very, very upset about it. So I want to give a special shout out to Anthony Pasillo for hooking that up. That was a big moment. He's getting engaged also. His cousin told me, congratulations, Anthony. We appreciate you. And thanks for facilitating that. And now you could get some good sleep. But that was number one. I just had to get that out there, Bob.
Good on you, Mikey V. And Anthony,
number two,
you.
I think we should address UFC night with Bob. Because I just want to jump right in and say one thing. John Jones, I am ready to put in the category of a different type of athlete. And you saw him in person, Bob. This guy, and now Gane is a good fighter. This guy he fought is not some like bum that they just threw in there after this guy hasn't fought in 3 years. Not only am I saying John Jones is the GOAT, I'm saying John Jones, in my opinion, is in the stratosphere of his sport to which Jordan was in basketball, to which Gretzky is in hockey, to which Brady is in football. I think John Jones is the apex of UFC fighting. The guy dismantled this guy inside of 40 seconds, and you were there in person, so give me the breakdown.
Yeah, I was saying to Joe, first off, you know, to piggyback off what you said, which people don't get, John Jones has fought the best fighters in every single fight that he's had. He's never shied away from anybody. He's had the belt, and he's fought the best of the best of the best. I'll get into our buy and sell segment because I was going to buy the UFC.
Well, that's fair. It is,
bar none, the most fun event I have ever been. Like, it is not even close compared to all the other events that I've been to of how much fun the UFC is. It is a blast. The only thing that was a shame with the John Jones fight is at the end, you know, last fight of the night, there's all this build up to the fight.
Yeah,
it was so short. Within 2 minutes.
I had bet Jones. I put Jones out as a pick, but I didn't think he was going to do that to him. I didn't think he was going to just totally dismantle the guy.
I would love to go with you guys to a UFC fight. It is one of, and shout out a guy that I met through Joe. He's a big fan of the show, Rocky, who got me out there. It's such a hard ticket to get. It is so much fun. And my dad has been a huge UFC fan for years, and I never even knew it. He kind of like, he just never spoke about it till I kind of like came in and he's watching fight after fight after fight. And it came out of nowhere. So I wanted to get into the UFC so that I could enjoy that with him because he was so into it. So I started following different fights and stuff like that. To take my dad to that event was the coolest thing. We had a connection through the UFC. They took us down to the Octagon. Like, he was in all his glory. It was the most fun event. Everybody's got to go to one of these at some point. It's unlike anything that I've ever been to. And again, me, who I don't know a ton of UFC, you know, and a ton of fighters, you learn about them, you know, as you go. But it is such an unbelievable experience. You bet the card and you go to one of these things. It's unbelievable by the UFC. And yes, John Jones, the guy is a freak, and I bet against him. So,
and and the only other thing I have to bring up, I have to bring it up, and I want Joe to weigh in on it. Joe, would you say out of the three of us that you are the most, and I'm hoping you're going to say yeah. Would you say you are the most fashion conscious individual of the three of us? Would you say that?
Yeah, I think you have good fashion sense, but yeah, I try to keep my.
Bob,
fashion.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I don't think you're far off.
I
gotta
say
Mikey.
Something now. Bob is at the event of a lifetime. The event of a lifetime. I mean, people would give their left arm to go to this event. Some people.
Oh, he's gonna body
for him
the
to
Jets
wear
jacket.
A Jets leather jacket, a New York Jets leather jacket. I'm not gonna say that it was a bad play, but I'm not gonna say it was a good play. I just think it was so fascinating. When I saw the Jets leather jacket, Bob, I was like, at first I thought it was just a leather jacket. Then I saw it had the Jets green and the Jets logo on. And I said, all Bob does is talk about how miserable he is with the Jets. So it's either a really good play, good on you for being a representative for your team in Vegas of all places. But at the same time, I was also slightly baffled by that play, Bob,
We got to get a picture from T-Bone of Bob in the octagon with the Jets.
Oh, the fist pose. You have to do the fist pose. But that was great. That picture, like, listen, that's such a priceless picture with your dad, bro. Like, that's a frame job automatic. Has to be. But the Jets jacket, bro, just like – brought me back to seeing people in leather team jackets. Now, that may be a style. I don't know. I'm not really up on style too much. I just throw Roe back on because I know it'll always look good. But
you
the Jets jacket.
It was like a bullpen coach for the Yankees wears the Yankees jacket. You know what I mean? Look, here's the deal. I'll be the first to tell you. I got no swag. I really don't. I have no – my fashion is so bad and – I thought it was cool.
All right. That's fair.
To his credit, I will say this. I was in Vegas the week before. It's cold as shit right there, right over in Vegas right now. Like it
the
was
desert cold. At night. That's cold.
So when I saw him wearing the jacket, the reason I thought he was wearing it was because it was super cold. Mind you, he was indoors for the fight. You swear he was out, you know, in the fucking, you know, in the Upper East Side where it's snowing and shit. Like it was a bit much, but I don't know, Bob. I will make you this proposition. If you want, I will take you shopping. And we won't go nuts with like I will go and I will help handpick some stuff out for you.
Yes.
Is that the end of the proposition?
Yeah, that's about
it. No, I'm just saying.
your credit card, Bob, like, but he will take you, yes.
I'm not trying to say I'm Rico Small, but I'm just saying that I think I could help Bob pick out some things because Bob, you got good stature, you got a good physique. Like you could fill out some good. Like I bet you, I could pick out some things you'd look like.
I believe it.
I think the plainer the clothing Bob wears, the more like neutral color, just straight. Like when Bob just wear, Bob can carry a plain crew neck T-shirt with the chain out very well. He could just rock that
the
very
Lululemon.
Well.
Like the Lululemon hoodies and stuff, and he looks fantastic in them. I don't know why you deviate away from something like that.
To the leather Jets jacket.
That's amazing to me because you know what?
Look, it was like he was wearing. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Putty's 8-ball jacket that he wears.
I can't get out of this. I can't get out of this segment.
I know exactly that jacket.
I can't move on. I just can't. I can't move on.
Hey, high five.
I can't move on. I thought it was cool. I really did. I thought it was cool.
I think it ends up maybe being cool though. I'm just saying, like, it may be cool in the eyes of many.
Yeah, it might be so out there that it is actually cool.
You know, I did say to my dad though, I said, because him with like traffic, even though we're staying at a hotel across the street, right. He starts to panic about traffic and all. I said, Dad, they're offering us to go to the Octagon. We have to get that picture together. Like, we're going to be so happy that we got that picture.
So you
together.
Had to wait to get that picture? Like, was there like a long line?
There was. They took us right through it, which was awesome. Really cool. To that's where awesome. it was right up.
Good. You don't make a man like your dad wait. Like you don't make him wait. Like if you see it's younger people, like you don't make him wait. You know what I'm saying?
But you
not
know
to,
what?
That's not calling him old. That's just out of respect. If I saw a line of young people, I'd move him to the front. I don't know who he is.
You know what
I'd
he wanted
say,
to do? So like you got to do the classic, like you know, with your fists up. He wanted to do me in a submission hold. I said, Dad, we're not getting down. We're not getting down to the floor and doing a submit.
Put Bob in a triangle hole.
Yeah. What are you going to get a full Nelson on there? What are you doing?
I tell you what, that would have been funny.
I would have paid money to see him trip over his shoelaces.
Oh.
He tripped on his shoelace going out of the octagon. It was one of the funniest things. It was one of the funny. He'll never hear the end of that because he's such not a fighter. You know what I mean? Like he comes up and he just trips over his shoe. It was unbelievable. That's tremendous. And there's like blood all over the mat from the fighters previously. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then here he is just tripping over his shoe. It was sensational.
Something truly funny about watching somebody trip over their shoelace.
There is.
Nothing I love more than a fall. I love a fall more than anything in the world. Can we play the clip? And sorry to do it to you, Joey D. Can we play the clip? I actually asked Joe. It is. We were talking about how good falls are after that happened with my
head. The medicine ball fall?
The medicine ball fall is amazing, but Putzi sent recently of him going down at the peninsula. That to me is the funniest thing.
I haven't seen this, I'm sure.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it.
Oh, in the restaurant?
No, near the elevator.
On the security camera, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah, that's tremendous. Yeah.
It's so good. Here it is. We'll play it over. This is Joey D, and I begged for the security footage in the peninsula running to catch a service elevator and just wiping out.
He gets up and he tries
to blame the busboy.
Points right to the floor.
That had spilled out of the garbage that the steward was supposed to clean up.
You got to watch the YouTube. You have to watch
it. It's so good. All right, folks. Big announcement. The Braille and the Dumb Show has partnered with the fine folks over at DraftKings. College basketball season is here and better than ever right now. New customers who download the DraftKings app, go ahead and plug in promo code BrilliantlyDumb. When you put $5 on a pregame money line, and if that bet hits, you win up to $150 in bonus bets. You can't go wrong when you go DraftKings. Again, that's going to be promo code BrilliantlyDumb. Bet $5 on any basketball game and come join the madness today. The Brilliantly Dumb Show, DraftKings live.
It's so good. Okay, fellas, let's keep it moving here. Joey D, buy or sell?
I'm selling. I don't know why we continue to – I just don't know. The NFL, man, it's like today we see Derek Carr and Geno Smith get paid out like a king's ransom. And I just don't understand, like, at what point – our NFL franchise is going to realize that they are overpaying for a commodity that they don't need to overpay for. Why are we doing this? And I've listed some of the guys in the last. So Geno Smith this year, 3 years, $105 million. Derek Carr, 4 years, $150 million. And then you just look.
$100 million in guarantees for Carr. Yeah, and $100 million guarantees. These
other guys, how they panned out. Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff. I mean, at what point do we need to see these guys? And I'm not trying to take money away from anybody. Good for them. They're getting paid out. But as a franchise, you're paying these guys. And it's like, for what? They had one good year. Like Geno Smith, no offense. I love the guy. Congrats. He had one good season. And by the way, at the end of the season, he looked miserable. He looked terrible. Yeah. And it's like, he's got $105 million now coming back to him. And it's like, are NFL franchises, are their heads in the sand?
Desperate for that position.
I don't get it. It's like, pick up from the draft. How many good quarterbacks are coming up in the draft? You have a rookie.
Three really promising ones, in my opinion. I don't think Levis is going to be good.
Jalen Hurts on a rookie call. I mean, why pay a guy that much when you can build off of a prospect or get somebody and just not pay them that much?
I like to take a lot, and I agree with it. I'm a big advocate for this too. Mikey V, I'm curious for your thoughts.
I mean, listen, I said some things last season about certain players that I thought, listen, it's the market. I think the market is just demanding. Like when you look at the franchise tag prices, the options are either you go into quarterback purgatory potentially, or you just bite the bullet and you hope things work out with these guys. Now, listen, Derek Carr is a good NFL quarterback. He's good. He's average. I would say he's above average to good. No, Joe, but I'm just saying these are the type of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones wants $45 million.
He's gonna get a bag.
And the Giants may give it to him. I mean, I don't know if they're going to give him 45, but they're going to give him a lot. But, you know, personally for me, Derek Carr, I wouldn't give the guy a bus ticket after he missed the Prize Picks over rushing total. that's me personally on Derek Carr. So good luck to Derek Carr. I think that – and, Bob, now I think your Jets, it's Garoppolo or Rodgers. Garoppolo or Rodgers. And, I mean, you couldn't have a bigger – gap between two guys than Garoppolo or Rodgers, but if you land Rodgers, man, it's going to be sure it's going to be interesting. But I thought Carr to the Jets made sense to me. But
I
like Rodgers if you pay for. Here's the thing: he's done it before, so at least I get it.
Rodgers is an MVP quarterback. I mean,
has the repertoire of being a winner. So at least, like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't pan out, but we went for a guy who's a proven
a weirdo freak, but a winner. Yes.
Hall of Fame quarterback. And I can understand that. But when you pay a guy like Geno Smith, who couldn't even stay in the league aside from being a backup, has 1 year where he plays well for three quarters of the season, and you commit to him for 3 years at $105 million, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yep.
I totally agree. I always feel like if you can't win a Super Bowl with the quarterback, which I'm sorry, Derek Carr, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr, do not pay him. Classic example in another league, a team that keeps doing, like, to me, a perfect example, like in a whole other league, basketball, NBA, the Blazers. They re-signed Damian Lillard for hundreds of millions of dollars, which, don't get me wrong, he's a stud. But
him Supermax deal?
Crazy deal. Yeah, you don't have the team around him. So you're not going to be able to win a championship. If you're not going to be able to win a championship at the time, don't pay the money. And maybe Lillard's not a great example because Lillard actually is a stud. Yeah, but like stud. Daniel Jones, they're going to give Daniel Jones his money. And I'm sorry, I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. Are you really going to win
with the quarterback position? You don't see this happening with any. I mean, there are some wide receivers and running backs.
Oh, Mikey knows. Mikey B knows of a wide receiver. But I'm saying,
love Christian Kirk. Good guy.
With the QB position, time and time and time again, to the point where you know it doesn't happen with other positions. It's just the quarterback, because these guys want to believe they have the guy, and it's like, it's so clearly that it's not the guy for that kind of money.
I like to take Joey D. I got no issue with the buy. Too. I don't think Bear Down has any issue with the buy. And folks, let's just hope and pray that Mikey V has a sell on the board for us this week. But go ahead, Mikey V.
Yeah, I do have a sell, and it's a weird one, but I brought it up last week, not on the pod, but I brought it up. I wanted to talk about it. You know, ever since we came out of this pandemic, a lot of people now, when they greet you, I've noticed, go for the fist bump as like a proper way to greet somebody. And I got to tell you, it's so awkward, the exchange, because I refuse to bend to that. I'm a handshake guy or like a dap guy. Is it a dap or a dab? Is it a dap? Dab. Yeah. I'm a dap guy or a handshake guy, open palm greeting of any sorts. I'm selling the fist bump today. I think enough is enough already with the fist bump. I mean, we're not on the court. I didn't just make a 3-point shot and we're running back down the other end. I'm just giving you a quick one. I understand there's times for the fist bump, but for that to be your go-to greeting when you first meet somebody is a fist bump. And meanwhile, it's so awkward because they give me the fist and I refuse to go. So I kind of just wrap the fist with my hand and I do like a modified air shake. It kind of looks like I'm stirring up a big pot of gravy or something. But so, I'm selling the fist bump. I think it's being overused, and it's being used because I don't know why, but it's like nobody wants to shake hands or do open palm greeting anymore. And that's, to me, I'm not going to, you know, contort my lifestyle to that.
So the only thing I will say with the fist bump, the only thing that I will counter with, initial greeting, no, I don't think you should ever do a fist bump on the initial greeting.
No.
With that being said, what I do like about the fist bump is you're in and you're out. There's no confusion. A lot of times when you go up with the dap up, You can come in clean, and then you got to figure, okay, are we now going around?
You don't have
and
to then, give the hug. What about the quick, like the
a lot of people do the hug, though. And you have to make those decisions when you do the dab, to where even when you do hug, then when you break, some people close it like this to where then they lock
in. Some people bring the shoulder in.
That's exactly right. It happened today on the course. I had a terrible one where I went for the round, brought it. He went to lock it in. I did like that. That's what's good about the fist pump is there's no confusion about the fist pump. It's just boom. You're in and you're out. Initial greeting. But you know what I mean, Mikey? It's like it's if impersonal. You do the dap up, there's so many different.
I get it. There's variations. I get it. Right. But that's what makes life beautiful is the unpredictability of it. You know,
that's why we got Joey D on the show. There's nobody more unpredictable than
unpredictability. Joey D. I mean, you know, I'm tired of the fist bump.
You're that's an old school gentleman and you handshake and don't ever change. That's the beauty of you, Mikey.
And it doesn't have to be like a formal, like stiff ass, like, hello, how are you? Like, yeah, I could definitely add flavor to it. I mean, there's no question about that, but everybody's going for fist bumps, and I just look like an insane person because I'm just going like this to everybody. It looks crazy.
Tough look.
Joe, it is a tough look. It's certainly a tough look, but I'm not fucking changing.
Have you ever gone to do like the handshake? The young guy goes to the fist bump, and then you switch, and then you miss it.
No, I won't switch.
I had that once, and it was awkward.
I literally will shake your fist. I will, if that's what it's going to take, I'll shake your fist, and you could think it's awkward, but this is I'm not gonna conform. On that ground, I will not.
Could you imagine the young lad that comes over to Bear Down's house to take G Baby on a date? When that time comes, you know, years and years down the road. Oh my God, I can't think of a harder.
Imagine he tries to fist bump me. I'll fucking pull him right out of the house. He'll be. Sorry, Gab. You got to go back. I'm sorry. The date ain't happening.
Oh man, that you talk. You
better
about.
Not come empty handed
when that happens.
You better not come empty handed either.
That is a tough
position.
Don't
come empty handed.
No, don't. No, don't.
What do you mean don't come empty handed?
Like he wants a bottle of olive oil in the house.
See, that's my problem. That's my problem. I got to be better with that, man. When I was at your house, Mikey, and you had, and I came to your house, and then Smigsy came over, brings a bottle of wine. Grill guy comes over.
We stopped at the liquor store. You brought stuff from the liquor store, didn't you?
Sure didn't.
Oh, was that the first time? Because I distinctly remember the second time we stopped at one of those times we stopped at a liquor store right
that
after
was for Nikki Diamonds. I'm not good
okay.
with that.
Okay.
I'm not good with that.
That is Smigsy.
Smigsy may be Smigsy's too good with that. Yeah. Smigsy
we
will
went
give
to
you
a restaurant, Mikey V, and he brought the maitre d'. He brought her. What was it? Olive oil.
You know, not for nothing. Not for nothing. There's taking it a little bit too far. Also,
I think Smigsy might take.
He takes it a little too. He makes everybody look insane.
I was like, Smigs, are you going for dinner? Or are you trying to take her out because you're with your girlfriend?
It's Smigsy. Yeah, he really, really is. All right, boys, we're gonna keep it moving along here. Bobby Blockbusters.
Wow. Well, we got to talk about this, Bob. We Bob and I discussed something that we had to bring up, and I don't want to sidestep. And Mikey V, this can be a little nervy thing. You might take offense to it, but we have to bring this up, okay? And I, it's not a pretzel job. This is not a pretzel job.
Sure. When you preface with it's not a pretzel job, odds are it's a Rhodes Gold bag of pretzels. But
it's a legitimate concern of ours. And by the way, I don't even know much about this because I don't have this platform.
Twitter?
But your Twitter use apparently is... And I feel it's we got to bring it up. Bob, you and I talked about this.
This guy is go ahead. Mikey Tweets is in every single category you have ever seen in your Mikey V
covering a lot of ground.
Story
covering a lot
about the Murdoch being pronounced guilty.
That was big news.
He is all it is all over. And look, here's the deal. All power to
shop.
This guy is tweeting. He's hashtagging Arnold Palmer Invitational on the same day that he's hashtagging the Murdoch doc. It's the craziest. The Murdoch trial. He's doing Murdoch trial.
And Justin Speed.
That was a typo. That was an unfortunate typo.
This guy is old.
When you're tweeting that much, there's going to be typos. Bob,
I said, I don't even have Twitter, but I know he's all over the map.
When Mikey V tweeted out the Murdoch being guilty, I found out the news from Mikey, by the way. And I turned to my dad and I said,
follow Mikey tweets.
Yeah, I turned to my dad and said, Murdoch get pronounced guilty? And my dad goes, no, it's not till later. He was all over. Mikey tweets has, it is pedal to the goddamn metal.
Let's call a spade though, Bob. The faithful are really digging into it though.
They're real.
The engagement.
Look, the faithful is real. Nobody's debating the fact that the faithful
are
real.
The voices are absolutely a thing.
I mean, the voices.
I feel like the voices are definitely growing.
They're an entity. They're an entity.
You know what I will say that I like with the Brilliantly Dumb Show followers is like, it's great. Like they'll bust balls, but like they're still big fans of things. But like it's a lot of like they'll come at us. And that's okay. I think it's great. Like it's all supportive. They'll come at me. They'll come at Joe. They'll come at Mikey.
They come to me all the time. I post something. They go, and I just see my name tag. And it says at Bear Down Cuz with the eyes. Or can't wait till Cuz sees it. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
It's the most, it really is. It's a fun crowd. And it's not hostile. It's not malicious.
No.
It's quality comments. Mikey Tweets is unlike anything that I have ever seen.
Mikey Tweets or Mikey Movies? Where we stand, Bob?
He's all out. It's all
Mikey,
all
Mikey Mulligans, Mikey Movies. Yeah, Mikey,
he's tweeting everything.
Talk about a guy who checks all the boxes.
I tell you, these people love, they love the golf live tweeting, though, man. And they love it. And like, I don't know much about, I mean, like, listen, like I can follow the game, but I don't know the ins and outs like gentlemen like yourself, but they really enjoy. I've never seen people get so gassed up over a sport. Like only thing that engages that high for me is like breaking like Bears news, and that's only because the majority of my following is a lot of Bears people. But
the golf world is
wild.
What, man, it's fiending for
me. Yeah, that's Mikey, the perfect word. That's
wait
the perfect
till you
word.
Wait till you put up your swing, like when you go to the driving range. And I know I'm waiting
on the irons,
curious.
Man. Waiting on the irons.
I can't wait to see. Here's the bottom line, Joe, and we're gonna have to accept the reality that I'm telling you, whatever he puts up that original swing, it is not gonna take long because he is going to be at the driving range.
Ticket and I.
I'm taking lessons. By the way.
Good that's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna take lessons. Metal, I don't want to fall into bad habits.
He's gonna
you
be
don't
want to
fall into this category. You don't want to fall into the bad habit category.
I don't know.
You know what you are, Mikey V? You're like in Ghost when they're doing the vase and they're peddling. You're like a perfect slate, and you can just start molding.
I'm like a big mound of clay, and I need to be molded.
Yes, you're like Patrick Swayze with the clay right now. You're perfect, and you want to mold yourself from the
Bob has no idea what you're talking about. Speaking of Bobby Blockbusters, that's probably the perfect transition, Bob.
Bobby Blockbusters time.
Oh, God. Please, for the love of God.
Now, did we get an airplane watch again, Bob?
No, you were going to. I actually watched it in the hotel last night when I got in the Jacksonville.
Okay, good. Thank God.
Start to finish, I know you guys should give it a try. Gran Torino. Definitely was concerned in the beginning. There's no question about it. Same thing. I was definitely concerned about the beginning. It really picks up. It's feel good.
Wow.
It absolutely checks the box. Here's what I do want to say. Absolutely check the box. I really do like it. It was hard. Like when the girl came back and she had gotten beaten up by that gang and stuff like that, it's hard to watch that. I don't like that part I don't like, but it really is such a feel good story. The only thing that I do want to say, and I know this is probably such a hot take, I do. Is Clint Eastwood that good? Is he really? I mean,
I don't think like people wig out about Clint Eastwood. I mean, he's a classic American actor, but
it's such
a
good
story.
I'm not
like, oh, I gotta watch it because Clint
Eastwood's in it. There is so many other people I think that could have done. So I mean, and he gets praised for this. And don't get me wrong, he's good. But I don't know. I almost think he's the. And again, I like the movie. The movie's a pass for sure. I don't know.
There's certain movies that you have to. There's certain movies I just say I'm gonna watch this because X actor is in it. Denzel Washington being one of them. Daniel Day-Lewis being one of them. Tom Hanks being like. I just am never like, oh my God, Clint Eastwood's in that. I have to watch it. I just
didn't think it was the best acting from it. Like, it didn't. He's
supposed to make it seem like his acting was supposed to be like a guy who. It's almost like prototypical kind of old school guy. That's what he was going for.
Get off my lawn, guy.
He was acting to do it, but that's what he was going for. If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%. But don't you think it maybe seemed like a little forced almost in a way? I might be way off on this, but it's almost like a little I don't know. I know when you guys said Gran Torino, I thought about that because everybody talks about Clint Eastwood in that.
But that being said, I don't think people are lining up out of the gates to watch Clint Eastwood movies. I know he did that movie The Mule, which was not that great, which was after, and then he's known for his spaghetti westerns, but like I don't
What's a spaghetti western?
It's something we'll never recommend to you ever, Bob. Okay. Have you ever heard about the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if Clint Eastwood's my kind of guy.
Spaghetti westerns when a bunch of cowboys, instead of going to the saloon, they go to an Italian restaurant and they just order a bunch of, you know, Italian
food. Well, that actually sounds up my alley.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
I thought it was called spaghetti westerns because a lot of it was filmed in Italy. And yeah, Bob,
Joe, I'm kidding, obviously. I was playing on the spaghetti portion.
They actually call it spaghetti westerns, Bob, because a lot of these movies were filmed in Italy, but they're wild, wild west movies. And they got blanketed into a genre that was known as spaghetti westerns.
Like Quentin Tarantino bases a lot of his stuff. He's like a major western guy.
Yeah,
Tarantino. That's like his real.
John Wayne was another Western guy, but again, I would never recommend any of those movies, Bob, because A, it's not in your wheelhouse. B, it's way older. You'd last 2 minutes.
Here's bagels wise for the Bobby Blockbuster.
That's what I'm curious about. Yeah,
it's a weird spot because I don't think I could do point. Like I'd love to do 6.5 because I don't think it's a 7, and I do think it deserves a little bit more than a 6. If I could do a 6.5 bagel,
you give a
6.5 bagel for Gran Torino. Okay. Not a green book, didn't blow me away, but it was good. I liked it. I felt good after it. With that being said, fellas, what do we got coming in this week?
Joseph, do you have anything? Because I had this movie that I thought could be, because of the feel-good thing, I thought. And now maybe Bob has seen it, if he has, which I'm guessing he may have. But, Joe, I wanted to get your thoughts on Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith.
Yeah,
loved it. Yeah, that's up my alley.
That's a miss. Okay, that's a miss.
Oh, there's a lot of movies that people suggest, and they're right up. I wish we had done this segment sooner because I did give Bob a lot of movies prior to ever doing the Bobby Blockbusters, and he's watched a bunch of good movies.
See, I'm getting there.
Another one that I was going to suggest, and again, I think he's watched it, is Whiplash. Have you watched Whiplash, Bob?
Loved Whiplash. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Of course he did.
Here's where we stand. I think, like, I want to stick with the feel-good situation. I've mentioned this movie before, and somehow it got kind of just pushed aside. 7 Pounds with Will Smith.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah. I've gotten ringing endorsements about that movie on Twitter.
Bob, it's up your alley. It's a feel good story. It's great acting.
I'm good with that play.
You are, Mikey.
Yeah, I am.
Like 2008 or something. So it's not like very recent, but it's good cinematography and the story is fantastic. I think we got to go back, kind of like we did with. You know, Peanut Butter Falcon, whether or not that was a hit or not. But this, I think this will do 7 bagels.
Okay. I'd love that play, Joe. I'm for
the 7 pounds.
7+ bagel. And by the way, as hard as it's been to get Bob, I feel like we're starting.
We're slowly starting to find that wheelhouse.
And, you know, 6.5 bagels. Listen, he gave it the nod of approval. That's we're already, and he's watching it from start to finish. So we're already.
That's a win. Yep.
Okay.
We are
definitely trending in the right direction. It feels good. I'd love another 8 or 9. I really would.
This is Will Smith when he was at his best. This is this is in his, like, in his prime, you know, like the I Am Legend. He did that. He did The Pursuit of Happiness. It was like right in that whole, it's a great movie, Bob. You're going to really like it.
Shame to see Will Smith go, man. It really is. I mean, this guy, he's
committed career suicide. What are you going to do?
I don't think the Chris Rock special.
I didn't watch it, but apparently for the first 15 minutes, all he talks about is the slap. But I listened to some of it. I didn't think any of it was funny, really.
I have to tell you the Will Smith story with me, Mikey V, of why I always loved him so much.
Yeah, he was good to you at the hotel or something, right?
Yeah, I was a doorman at the hotel. I went he was always so nice to me. And then I went to another hotel to go work. And right when I went over to the hotel, it was in Miami, and he stayed with us when he was at this hotel prior. He was so nice to me. He was one of the classiest guys. I looked up to the guy. The guy was like, the way he treated people, he was so good to everybody, knew us by name. Anyway, went over to the new hotel. My boss was a total prick, just awful. He was brutal to me. Will Smith was going to come in to check in the new hotel, and I was the doorman, and I didn't think that Will Smith was going to recognize me. My boss at the time, the new boss, was a huge Will Smith fan, so he was all giddy about him arriving that day. Long story short, Will Smith comes in. Everybody goes out to greet Will Smith, all the bigwigs, and this guy is the biggest prick to me. And I'm standing there with the welcome juices and my doorman outfit, the welcome juices and the towels just standing out there. And I'm thinking to myself, with how giddy that my new boss is about Will Smith coming in, imagine if he recognizes me. He gets out of the door. It's like none of those executives and bigwigs were even there. Cool. He just came over and he gave me a big hug. It was, and I always loved the guy for it. And then that happened. And now he is. Yeah. It's a shame to see. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the Brilliantly Dumb Show to let you know that the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by our good friends over at BetterHelp.com. Life doesn't always go the way you want to, and it doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. That's why BetterHelp.com is here. BetterHelp.com matches you with a licensed therapist. They have matched over 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online, plus it's affordable, and you don't have to go to a doctor's office or go to some type of building. You could do it all from the comfort of your new home, of your home. You can't go wrong when you go with BetterHelp.com. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/BDS. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BDS. BetterHelp.com. Change your life today for the better. Our top five here. This is a Joey D top five. Top five today is brought to you by Joey D. Joey D, why don't you tell the folks what we're going to be doing today?
They were going to be doing top five bread styles. I thought about this, and we have not done this, and I do think people are very specific with the bread selection that they like. And I think when you first think about it, you think, oh, there's like one or two different styles of bread. And then you start going down the rabbit hole, and there's a ton of different types of bread that you can add. So I actually think that the lists are going to be pretty wide ranging. So I thought, let's do it. We've never done it before. It's in the food category, which always hits better than anything else. I think it's going to be a fun one this week.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get down into it. I don't mind it at all. Joey D, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I'll start us off. At number five this week, I'm going to go with a rye. I'm normally more of a white or like classic style bread kind of guy. Once in a while, I feel a little bit healthier doing a rye bread, and I do think it's really good for sandwiches, for different things. I'm going to throw that at number five just to mix it up. And number four, I'm going to go with the French baguette. I love this kind of bread. I think it's always crispy. It hits well. I like to dunk it in olive oil or balsamic, or have it with butter if you heat it up. I think that it's a great bread. French baguette at four. At number three, I'm going to go with a softer style of bread. I'm going to go with a brioche. If you've ever had brioche, you know it's soft, it's delicious, it's warm. To me, a brioche...
He's describing a woman. It's eloquent. It's eloquent.
I'm very passionate about bread, man.
Oh, I know you're passionate. I
fucking love bread, man. And being Italian growing up, it's like bread is like a staple part of the meal.
Absolutely.
So bread, a brioche at three. This is where it gets hard for me now. At number two, I'm going to go sourdough. I think for me, when I have like toast in the morning, if I have a classic sandwich, I think sourdough checks all the boxes, man. I think it's really fucking great.
Sourdough's great.
And now I don't know if you guys were aware, Ticket, by the way, used to make his own sourdough during the pandemic. There was like sourdough like craze. What?
Everybody he had a weird phase with sourdough bread where he couldn't stop making rename
himself the Big Yeast. just put out bread making content on Instagram. That would be fucking phenomenal.
So number two, give me a good sourdough. And number one for me, I just think that this is my favorite. Being an Italian guy, a good ciabatta bread is so good. I got ciabatta at one. I love this. I'll make sandwiches out of it. I'll dunk it. I'll have it like as a toast in the morning with my eggs. My mom will do it. It's crispy. It's good with eggs. I'll do it with it's just ciabatta at one. It always was. It always will be. As an Italian guy, ciabatta at one.
Mikey V, stage is yours, big fella.
So, I got 4 out of 5 Joe has.
I was worried about this. I do too.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
The ordering is a lot different, and my number one has not been mentioned, so maybe that's going to turn some heads. But number five.
Wait, whoa. I'm sorry. Can we do on three the type of bread that you're talking about?
For number one?
Well, the one that you don't have with Joe, I would like to do on three because I'd be curious if you have it. But let me know when it gets there, and we'll count down to three and see if we have the same one.
Well, it'll be there when I get to my number one.
It's your number one?
It's my number one.
It's number one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Number five, I'm with Joe on ciabatta. I think ciabatta's a great bread. Number five for me. Number four, I'm with Joe again, but obviously different order. But sourdough. I think sourdough is criminally underrated, especially with the eggs. Sunny side up eggs dipped with sourdough is something really different. Number three, rye bread, marble rye toast. If I order like a club sandwich at the diner, I am not getting it on white bread. I'm not getting anything on white bread ever. I always ask for rye toast at the diner. If it's an omelet, any kind of breakfast dish, it's rye bread, rye toast, automatic. Number two, French baguette. Joe, I agree. Long French bread. That's a staple everywhere. That bread is on every single dinner table across America. I would say it's the most. I would guess it's the most commonly like bought bakery bread. And number one for me, Bob, are you ready? You're not going to get it, but okay.
All right. Let him try.
One, two, three. Kaiser roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Semolina.
Semolina is Italian is Italian bread, but it's the bread with seeds. It's the seeded Italian bread.
Oh, that's fucking good, man.
To me, obviously, I was going to go with Italian bread as the number one, but semolina in particular, a little different inside. It's not exactly like white bread. It's different.
Bob, you know what it is, right?
Seeded bread. Like, and this.
I got it. Yeah, bro. That's a really, really good one.
Yeah, man. Like the end piece of that bread, like a lot of people don't like the end, like the butt of the bread to me on a good loaf of bread like that is the best part. You put a fresh wet slice of mozzarella on top of a slice of semolina bread and you're, if it's done correctly, like don't try it. If you live in Arkansas and you listen to this show, don't go out and try and do that because your experience won't live up to the hype. But when you come out to the East Coast and you come see some of us, then you have to try a piece of semolina bread with a fresh wet pizza mozzarella on top. That will set things off the way they're supposed to be set off. So, yeah, semolina number one. Sorry about the Kaiser roll, Bob.
Yeah, that sucks.
Sorry about the Kaiser roll.
That we missed sucks. On that I thought the Kaiser roll really sucks.
When you said he wasn't going to guess it, he just went right outside the box.
Yeah.
Kaiser roll.
Yeah, I was a little worried about that because I have all very similar. My top fives have been doing terrific, if I don't say so myself. They really have. I've been on a good roll. I mean, we got to call like it is. I've been on a good roll with the top fives. Mikey V doing the semolina at one is huge, and I didn't have that, so I'm not going to throw that in. Give me ciabatta at five. Yeah. Okay? Give me the ciabatta at five. Number four, give me the brioche. I think everything's better with the brioche bun. I got brioche at four. Number three, You can go ahead and lock me in for the Kaiser roll at 3. Give me sourdough at 2.
Wow.
You guys are high on the sourdough.
Yeah.
Sourdough's great. Don't get I listen, it was my number 4. I got a lot of respect for sourdough.
Now, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here because this is my 1, so I want to make sure this is right. I put French roll, which to me pretty much is a French baguette.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm just
making
absolutely. Which is absolutely. What the sub sandwiches would be on for the French roll. Absolutely. Sure. I just wanted
baguettes,
to make sure.
By the way, if you get with cold cuts or cheese,
can't go wrong.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, that's how I felt. Do we have honorable mentions?
I do.
Go ahead, Mikey B.
Cornbread is my honorable mention. Cornbread.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nice piece of cornbread is tough to beat. Sorry.
I got a different one too. Is potato bread.
Yeah, potato bread's good. Potato rolls.
Potato rolls are
the potato
there.
Bread is super soft. It's really nice.
Potato roll cheeseburger.
Semolina for that. But that's actually the potato bun on a hamburger.
Oh,
a lot of times it's better than the brioche bun.
Potato roll's good stuff.
It's up there, man. It's really good.
All right. Well, here's the deal, fellas. Yeah, I was a little
Are you honorable mentioning, Bob?
Semolina.
Oh, semolina. Okay.
Give me the semolina for the honorable mention. Fellas, that does it. Yet again, another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Get into that 5 stars. We want to keep the ball rolling. I love you, boys. I appreciate you, boys. That's another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We will see you next time.